story is about every parent's nightmare. The one we all think about anytime our kids step out of sight for even 1 second while in public. Hi guys, this is The Missing Ones. I am Liberty Campbell.
And I'm Alexis Peterson.
So has your week been as long as my week?
Definitely, yes. Oh.
Oh yeah, I probably should mention, speaking of crazy weeks, we are getting a new floor in my kitchen, so I am going to try really hard to edit all the banging out. He's almost done. Hopefully it won't be much longer. So I'm sorry.
It's okay. I was thinking, like, is that someone knocking on my door trying to get my attention, or?
No, it's just my buddy Jace putting in our new floor. So, yeah. I mean, it's going to look really nice. It started with a hole in the subfloor in the laundry room, and now I have an entire new kitchen floor.
Hey, gotta get those updates one way or another, right?
Right, and it's all thanks to Jace. So, Jace, I know you're going to be listening to this. I appreciate your face. And, yeah, he listens to this. I made him. Actually, I didn't make him. I told him about it, and he was like, I'm going to listen to it. So now he listens to it. I don't know if he's actually going to listen to this episode. I don't know where he's at in, like, the episode lineup, but you now know what I know.
Hey, but shout out for supportive friends and family. I mean,
yes,
that always makes us feel good.
That I'm pretty sure is like the driving force here. So super cool fact. Do you want to know how many listeners? Well, I don't know how many exactly, but I have a percentage. Why are you doing this to me? Hold on, the Anchor app is being weird. Oh, it signed me out. I was going to tell you, we have a bunch of listeners, not a bunch, but we have some listeners in like the UK and Sweden and Canada, which I personally think is super cool. So shout out to you guys, because
ooh.
Hi.
What's the other side of the world like? That's right? What I want to know.
I want to travel so bad. I miss it so much. Anyways, we are trying to plan a trip for our anniversary.
Uh-huh.
But we can't go unless it's in May, which our anniversary is in June, because my husband works in agriculture and like it gets crazy busy in June. So hopefully we can go to Jackson Hole in May, but we'll see.
That'd be cool.
You were telling me about your week. I'm sorry. We like sidetracked into my world. Tell me about your
week. That's totally fine. Your world is a lot more interesting. I think at one point I was like, oh, it's Sunday. Like, you know, tomorrow's Monday and... like, I have a, you know, just, it's yeah. The weekend still. And then it was, like, Wednesday. And I was like, I am really far off.
My whole week has been, like, it feels like I haven't stopped at all this week. So I can't relate.
Yeah, my week just seems to drag on. Like, can't think of what day it is today because my days just kind of blend together. Oh, but yesterday we did go to the Fountain of Youth.
And we drank from it. You look much younger. You do. You look much younger. I should definitely join you next time.
Yes. So we drank from the Fountain of Youth, which is in Florida, and it's where like the Spaniards like came from, and they found somewhere. I heard like from one of the people who were like answering questions, was the reason why they thought it was the Fountain of Youth was because they were coming from salt water and then found well water or like underground water.
Like fresh water.
And they were amazed that in this area where it's a bunch of salt water, that there was fresh water that they could drink. And so they thought it was the Fountain of Youth.
They really weren't all that bright, were they?
I don't know. That's just what she said. I don't really remember the history of it, but there was like the first church or the first mission church was there and like a bunch of other things. So it was cool to walk around and go see.
Sorry, this is really weird. Are you ready for it?
Ready.
This has nothing to do with your Fountain of Youth and I'm so sorry. earlier Duncan was telling us about this motorcycle race that they have on a place called Isle of Man. And I'm looking at the like, our like, listener stats on the website, and like one of the first country, it's so it goes US, United Kingdom, New Zealand, Ireland, Canada, Australia, and then it says Island of Man or Isle of Man.
Oh.
And I don't think it's ever said that before. It doesn't look like we have any listeners there, which is fine. But yeah. I just think that's super weird.
So, yeah.
That's all. I just, you know, adding to the conspiracy. Actually, it's not a conspiracy. It's a well-known fact that our phones and stuff listen to us and like our conversations. So,
Facebook does too. Kind of.
Well, Facebook like tracks your what your
your activity off of the app. So, yeah. But you can change it to where if you go into your Facebook settings, you can turn that off. So you're not going to get suggested ads from whatever else you're looking at.
They don't bother me that bad. I do know that I am ready for a new week. It's going to be another busy week. We are recording this on Sunday. So when I say that, I mean this coming week is going to be busy. Do you consider Sunday or Monday to be the first day of the week?
Like half and half. I want to say like for me, like Monday is the beginning of a new week, but I consider like Sunday to be like that in between where it's like the morning is the weekend, but Sunday night is usually where you get homework done for Monday. So it's kind of like...
Yeah, I get it. See, for me, Sunday is like the end of the week. Everything is over with and like now it's time to start over again. And so you kind of get to relax and enjoy it. But I get where you're coming from.
So yeah, I'm like, that's a hard question because I do recognize Monday as the beginning of the week, but I also see Sunday as like Sunday night kind of as like the beginning of the week too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Because you're like preparing for the week and getting everything ready and put together.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense.
Other than on like Saturdays, I just kind of lounge on the couch and not even like, I have another day.
That was me on Saturday. I didn't do anything. That's not true. I went to Home Depot and picked out flooring for my house, but that's about it. I didn't really do a whole lot. It was awesome, especially after like a long, busy week.
Oh, yeah. Those days are always the best.
Oh, man. I had to drive to Las Vegas on Wednesday, and I think that's one of the worst drives ever. It's only 3 hours from here, 2.5 if you like to go fast. And I think it's the longest drive ever.
You should move across the country a little more often.
Yeah, that's you. That's a you thing. I don't do that anymore. No, I don't do that. Well, should we go ahead and have a quick ad break and get into this episode?
Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick disclaimer before we get started. Today's episode talks about abductions and some other triggering things, so please proceed with caution.
Today's story is from Bridgeton, New Jersey. And let me tell you, if I say Bridgerton, forget about it. Just ignore it. Let's move on with our lives. Also, if you have not watched Bridgerton, get your life together. That's all. Okay. On the afternoon of September 16th, 2019, Noema Alves, her two kids, and her 8-year-old little sister stop at a gas station for ice cream just before 4 p.m. They were on their way to the park. When arriving to the Bridgeton City Park, 5-year-old Dulce Alves and her 3-year-old brother ran down the hill to play at the park behind Bridgeton High School. The two ran off to play while their mother and her sister stayed in the car.
To me, I feel like that's kind of normal. I mean, if they could see the playground, I would totally be that person, be like, yeah, I'll just stay here. Go ahead and go. But I don't know about like little kids. Like these guys are, what, 3 years old?
So Dulce is 6 at this time and her little brother is 3. That is pretty young to be on the park by themselves. But in an interview with Dr. Phil, she does say that she could see the entire park except the swings. So, I mean, I can understand if she like had a good reason to stay in the car. And I'm not saying that like it's bad to stay in your car. I just think it's weird. And I think it's weird because she stayed in the car with her 8-year-old sister. Why isn't the 8-year-old dying to go play on the park? You know what I mean? So I think that that's weird. But she watched closely as the two played in the nearly empty park. After a few minutes, Noima realized that she could no longer see Dulce. And this is where things get a little bit murky.
Okay, so what happened?
Well, one source says that the 3-year-old son came back to the car by himself. And that's when Noima realized that Dulce was gone. But on Dr. Phil, Noima tells him that she hadn't seen the kids for a second and wanted to make sure that they were okay. So she got out of the car, went to look for them, and found her son standing in the park crying because he had dropped the ice cream they just bought. When she asked what Dulce was, he just said that she had gone behind some buildings. He just kind of pointed towards some buildings that were near the park. Here's the satellite image of the park, and you can kind of see right here the actual playground equipment. And then I am guessing that she parked in this parking lot. I am also going to add that I will have this image on our blog and on our Instagram so that you guys can see kind of what I'm talking about. But it sounds like she probably parked in this parking lot because it looks like there's a pretty good view from here. Because if she had parked in this parking lot over here to the left, she would have had to look across these basketball courts in order to see them. So this little dirt one is what makes sense to me. And I'm kind of guessing that the buildings that her son was referring to are these ones right here, based off of what has been reported.
So if she's parking in that dirt parking lot, there's the parking lot and immediately next to it is those basketball courts. And then there's those trees right there. So you're trying to look through those trees at the playground, and to send a 3-year-old and a 6-year-old that far away while you're just staying in the car, I think that's kind of weird.
I do too. I feel like that's really
especially when you don't know, like, it's not like, at least from what we can tell, it doesn't sound like she went over with the kid and like checked out that part, like the park.
Yeah, as far as I can tell, she did not go to the park until she realized that she could no longer see her kids. And that's when she realized that Dulce was missing. And I mean, everybody makes a mistake. There's a million reasons why she would have stayed in her car. But to me, it's just like, it's just kind of, as a mom, I think that's a little weird to send your 6-year-old and your 3-year-old off to play in a park that you can, from what I can tell, barely see. So, but that's just me. I personally think that it's a little bit weird. And also in doing research, I felt that Noima's story changed a lot. One source says that Noima says that there's nobody in the park. It was practically empty. And then another one, which is the Dr. Phil episode, says that there were girls playing at the basketball court. Another one that was supposedly a statement from Noima says that there were black men and a Hispanic man playing there. So like her story of what actually happened seems a little bit murky to me, especially with the conflict of whether or not she got to the park and found her son without his ice cream or if he came to her. But that one I actually kind of think is just a misinformation, like misinformation kind of, because she flat out told Dr. Phil that she went to the park, found him crying, and there was no mention from her that he came to the car. So I think that right there is a little bit like justifiable, and not justifiable, but like explainable, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it could be that she also doesn't quite remember what happened because maybe she was in a state of panic. And, you know, your mind just kind of goes somewhere else. And then maybe she's just making, like, changing the story to make it seem like she was a little bit more responsible than she might have been. And she is only 19 with 2 little kids.
I think that that is completely possible. Honestly, I think that it's possible that she was like, she told this story first, that he came to the car and it got reported on, and then like changed it after. I don't know. I think that it personally, like, I think that it was just like a misinformation kind of thing. And like, they just assumed that he came back to the car when his sister went missing. So like I said, to me, it's all over the place, because one time she tells authorities, or one time it's reported that there was no one in the park. Another time it says that there were a few people at the basketball courts. Another time says that there was no one there. So, I mean, it's a little bit weird. They have released the 911 call, and I am going to go ahead and play this for you.
911, where's your emergency?
I can't find my daughter.
Okay, when was the last time you seen her?
We were there at the park, and people said that probably somebody took her.
Okay. How old is she?
She's 5 years old.
Okay, and what park are you at?
Here in Bridgeton Park.
Okay, where at in the Bridgeton Park are you?
The one with the basketball court where high school is.
Okay, so you're at the basketball courts behind the high school?
Yes.
Okay. And what was she seen last wearing?
She was wearing, give me a second. Did you play with the on the bench in the recess? I don't remember what clothes she was wearing, but she was wearing, I just remember her pants. She was wearing like a flowery pants and some heels, some white heels.
Okay. Hi, ma'am, stay in line. I'm going to turn you over to the police, okay? And you said she was 5, correct?
Yes.
All right.
Hello, ma'am?
Hello.
Hi, did you see which direction your child went?
No, we were in the car. She came down with my son. They were running to the park, and then me and my sister, we came down. But when we got here at the park, she wasn't here. They said that my son was just crying with his ice cream, because somebody threw his ice cream in the floor, and my daughter just ran away.
All right. You didn't see anyone else around there that she could possibly have went with?
No, not that I know of, because we didn't saw no one. There's just some other people that they're here that said that they saw her running through some houses in the back, and they said that they saw two men. They saw a black guy, and they saw a Mexican man with two kids.
Who's saying that they saw them?
Because there's people here in the basketball court that they saw her. They said that they saw her running.
They're saying that there's people there at the basketball court that they saw her running through some houses with two black males. She's light-skinned, Spanish. And what color top does she have on?
I don't remember.
Okay. Are you at the basketball court?
Yes, I'm right here right now.
That's affirmed. She says that she's at the basketball court. And do you have your son with you, or is your son?
No, I have my son with me. They say he was crying when we found him. He was just standing there crying.
Oh, he was standing there crying. So who? You said that the black males took his ice cream?
No, they threw it in the floor.
So the two males took his ice cream and threw it on the floor, and then they left with your daughter?
Probably, because I didn't saw it. When we came in and looked for her, we were looking everywhere for her.
She said that her son was at the basketball court with her daughter, that there was two black males that took her son's ice cream and threw it on the ground and left with her daughter. Okay, well, we have the officers.
She's the basketball court on Mayor Aiken.
Are you on Mayor Aiken?
I already have an officer here.
Okay. All right, go speak with the police, ma'am, okay?
Okay.
You can tell that she was really, like, upset.
Yeah, I mean, she's obviously scared. Like, she's obviously scared. I mean, any parent would be. I don't know how to explain it. To me, it feels like there are so many more people there in that situation, in that moment in time, than what was, like, originally reported on. And for some reason, I'm like, hanging on to that. I don't really know why, but like, it just, I don't know. For some reason, I'm like hanging on to that. I don't know how to explain it other than...
You would think that with a lot more people there, like you, at the beginning, you just kind of assumed that, you know, she could see them. She let them go to the park. And then it's like, oh, well, now there's a bunch more people at, you know, the basketball court. So now there's the high school that's right there that anybody could walk through. And then now there's the houses that...
Right. Well, and these people that were at the basketball court are telling her that they saw the girl running towards the houses and running through these back alleys and whatever. So, I mean, I kind of could understand. I don't know. I just like and I'm not like putting suspicion on the family, but it just seems like jumbled up. And I think I think part of that is the media. I don't think it's the family necessarily. I think it's the media is not getting everything straight.
Yeah, with so many different sources and stories, like, you know, they don't always release all the information. And so some of it is speculation. Some of it is just what, you know, someone heard. Some of it is, you know,
Well, and not, yeah, and not one single person sees the same thing as the person standing next to them. Everybody perceives something differently. And so one person could have seen her running and another could have seen her playing tag. You know what I mean? So it's kind of like you have to take it with a grain of salt a little bit. And I think that's what police were trying to do. But not long after Dulce was reported as missing, the FBI joins the investigation. And the next day on September 17th, an Amber Alert was issued. Alexis, do you want to go over what goes into an Amber Alert?
Yeah. So an Amber Alert is an emergency broadcast between police and the public to notify that a child has been abducted or believe that the child's life could be in danger. The requirements to decide that an Amber Alert should be issued are that the child has to be under 18 years old, be in danger, and any other information that can help lead to this discovery.
So if you're unclear on what an Amber Alert is, that's it. They basically have to be in like immediate danger and they have to have a lot of information. So the Amber Alert that was issued stated that Dulce was believed to be with a light-skinned, possibly Hispanic male who was 5'6" tall. And he was wearing orange sneakers, red pants, and a black shirt. Authorities added that the man led Dulce from the playground to a red van with a sliding door and tinted windows.
Did they say how they were able to come up with that identification? Just because, at least from the mother's point of view, she doesn't know. But I guess they could have asked around to the basketball players or...
I think that's probably it. I think that they probably took witness statements and kind of put two and two together and went from there. But it's kind of real. It's hard to say because they haven't like officially released anything. Because it is an ongoing investigation. So then things are quiet for a few days. They hold a vigil at the park and her family begged for her safe return on the news. And on the 24th of September, investigators announced that they did in fact contact Dulce's father, who at the time was living in Mexico. And they were trying to meet with him like face to face and like really clear things up. And I'm happy to report that he is still cooperating with authorities. By October of 2019, police announced that despite the large amounts of tips and hundreds of officers looking for Dulce, they are out of leads. They don't know where to look next. And this happens a lot. A lot of times they will follow leads and they will just be dead end roads because like it's either a suspicion that wasn't accurate, it's a false spotting of the child or the person. It was a blatant lie, which I think is shitty. Don't do that. So stuff like that. In hopes that they would drum up some more useful information, authorities released this composite sketch. So this is the composite sketch that police released in hopes to drum up more information.
In this sketch, he's wearing a white ball cap, like a baseball cap. He has smaller eyes. Like, they're not super big. I would say they're more like an almond shape. And then it looks like he has a pretty prominent nose and then smaller lips, and then he has a mustache that comes out and then connects down to a under the jaw beard.
Isn't that called a Fu Manchu? Is that what that is?
I don't know. I thought that if it keeps going down, but...
You might be right. I don't know.
I don't know. Because I was thinking, oh, it's like a handlebar mustache, but then it connects. And then he has acne on his chin. He looks slim, at least in the facial features.
Yeah, to me, he looks pretty much like... he looks pretty generic. And like I said, they describe him as a light-skinned person. They are suspecting that he is Hispanic. But, I mean, he's pretty, like, generic-looking to me, at least. Especially if he's got a hat on. While the community back home was looking for Dulce and holding vigils, Dulce's mom appeared on the Dr. Phil show, like I mentioned earlier. I will have the link to some of the clips from the episode in the show notes, and it will also be on our blog. I didn't want to, like, obviously play the whole thing on here, and I could not find the entire episode. If you can, great. I just kind of found bits and pieces of their interview. But I want to talk a little bit about what she tells him in these clips. When watching this interview, my first thought is that Noema seems very uninterested in this whole thing. She's very monotone. One or two word answers, unless it requires a longer answer. And naturally, that led me to think that she knows more than what she's suggesting. She knows, you know what I'm saying? So I think that automatically makes her suspicious to not just authorities, but to, like, everybody.
Yeah, but it's hard to tell, like, what's going through a person's mind, because especially on going on a show like that, you know, she could have stage fright. We don't know if English was her first language.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, on the other hand, the way a person acts or responds to a tragedy like this is not in any way, shape, or form a sign of guilt. And so many times I hear other podcasters talk about how people react when something tragic happens to their family member, like, it's as if it's a sign of innocence or not. And even, like, police do it. I mean, that was a major fact in Susan Powell's disappearance. They talked a lot about how uninterested Josh Powell was in the whole thing. Okay, so maybe that's not a good example because he did actually kill her. But you get my point. Just because she isn't falling down sobbing and crying and completely losing her mind like we expect her to, it doesn't mean that she isn't scared. In fact, at the first Kendall vigil they had, she was so distraught that she couldn't even speak. And like you said, I don't think that her first language was even English. I mean, that probably plays a really big factor in it. In fact, Dr. Phil asks her about why the police expected her and her family, and she flat out says it is because she didn't cry. She explains that she just doesn't cry in front of people, which is, like, a totally normal thing. But I do want to add that in the 911 video, in, like, the very first few seconds of it, you can hear her voice start to shake as if she's going to start crying. Did you catch that?
Yeah, I noticed that even throughout, you could tell that she was distraught and trying really hard to be calm. But at least I could tell she wanted to cry.
Yeah, so, like, saying she didn't cry or her reaction wasn't what they wanted, it doesn't mean she's guilty of anything. He also asks her if she took a polygraph, which it is my understanding that they are really outdated and not reliable in the first place. But Noema tells Dr. Phil that she never received her results. I mean, she did the test and they didn't tell her if she passed or if she failed. There are so many rumors about Dulce's disappearance floating around, and they talk about those in the interview. Things like they sold her, it was all family planned, and people thought it was suspicious that they were at an empty park and that she and her 8-year-old sister stayed in the car. One commenter on YouTube said that the 8-year-old sister was doing homework, but I wasn't able to find that anywhere else. So, I mean, like, that's just one commenter saying that. I don't know if they know the family or whatever. But even then, why wouldn't you let your 8-year-old Sister, play. I mean, homework can wait, right? A year after Dulce went missing, an article on Patch.com states that the FBI is feeling very optimistic. Special Agent Daniel Garibrandt told Patch that there are leads coming in and the agency has pursued them since the time of her disappearance. Like always, not everything is released to the public. Garibrandt makes it clear in this article that they think the case could resemble ones like Elizabeth Smart and J.C. Duggard, who were missing for long periods of time, but in the long run, they wound up just under the public's nose. And he credits their discoveries to the community. Garibrandt wants people to know that being cooperative and providing truthful, real leads is the way to find Dulce. They are working this case as a stranger abduction. And in the Dr. Phil episode, she mentioned that it might have been a family friend, but that was the only time that family friend was mentioned. I don't know for sure if the authorities are looking into it. I would like to assume that they are. For now, they suspect Dulce is alive. And all they are missing is that one tip from someone who saw something.
If that someone is you, please call 911, the Bridgeton City Police Department at 1-856-451-0033 or your local FBI field office. Dulce was last seen on September 16, 2019 at the Bridgeton, New Jersey City Park. She was wearing a yellow shirt with a white elephant, black and white pants, and white sandals. Dulce is Hispanic, and at the time of her disappearance, she was 6 years old with black hair and brown eyes. She was about 3 feet 5 inches and weighed around 40 pounds.
Dulce's case is that of a parent's nightmare. I remember one time I was at Smith's and Scarlett like stood behind me as I was turning around, and like it was 2 seconds before I started panicking and screaming her name. And some lady like behind me was like, she's right here. like you're an idiot. She's right here. Calm down. So, I mean, when I say it is every parent's worst nightmare, it is every parent's worst nightmare. I also know that the FBI wants to put to rest the rumors surrounding Noema and the family. They do not suspect them anymore. They do think that this was a stranger abduction. They want to put to rest those suspicions, even though there are a few like weird things, like they stayed in the car, she wasn't at the park with them, blah, 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 blah. None of that matters. What matters is that Dulce is gone and someone who saw something and knows something, and that person needs to come forward with that information and share it with the rest of them. Remember, guys, see something, say something. So recently we have been highlighting a kid who is missing, but there's not a lot of information on them. And it's really hard to share their stories if we don't know their stories, but we still want to get their names and their faces out there. So Alexis, do you want to go ahead and give us this week's highlighted kid?
Yeah. So this week's highlighted kid is Melissa Fu. I'm hoping I'm saying that right. It's F-U. So it's either Fu or Fu. She was 13 years old at the time of her disappearance. She has dark brown hair, brown eyes, about 5 foot 11 inches, and around 200 pounds. She was last seen wearing a black tracksuit. The details are that Melissa and her mother, Amber, were last seen on Friday, November 22nd, 2019 at approximately 6 p.m. Their residence located in the area of Michelson Drive and University Drive in Irvine, California. There are suspicious circumstances surrounding their disappearance and two people seen in the vicinity of their residence near the time of their disappearance are being sought for questioning. The unknown individuals are possibly associated with a black Cadillac, unknown model. They are described as follows: a Chinese female in her 40s, approximately 5'8", with an average build, black hair worn in a bun. And the other person is a Chinese male in his 40s, approximately 5'10", weighing about 190 pounds with an average build and short black hair. If you have any information concerning these kidnappings, you can contact the FBI's Los Angeles field office at 310-477-6565. Also, some tips anonymously online at tips.fbi.gov. So this is a two-person missing case.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
It's both Melissa Fu and her mom, Amber Ayaz. I hope I'm saying that last name right. I'm sorry.
That is really interesting. I hope that one of our listeners can shed some light on where they are and what might have happened to them.
Remember to follow us over on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok at Missing Ones Pod. You can also join us over on Facebook in our new discussion group. Just search the Missing Ones discussion group and hit join. We want it to be a space for people to come and talk about the podcast, missing kids, other cases that draw their attention, or, you know, any suggestions that you guys have as well. And most importantly, share with your friends.
Have a great week.
Bye.